Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I just wanted to bring attention to a wonderful group that does stuff in New Hampshire. It's called the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. I know that you guys have talked about them a lot, but I just wanted to bring to your listeners' attention, if there is anybody that listens in New Hampshire, there's going to be a bill review training / bill review party tomorrow. So essentially what that's going to mean is the nonprofit or the NHLA will go teach you how to review a bill. Mm-hmm. And by bill, I mean something that's submitted by the New Hampshire House, you know, like a new piece of legislation. And then we basically teach you how to rate the bill based off of if it is pro or anti-liberty. And once, after we train you on that, there's going to be a bill review party afterwards. So essentially, you'll put what you learned into practice. And I helped organize this. This is going to be at the Shell. It's going to start at 2 o'clock.
I was going to say, Zephan, I know you're relatively new to New Hampshire. I mean, you've been here less than a year, right? Like, when did you make the move?
So I moved here in June.
And you're already involved in, like, setting up training sessions with the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. That's awesome. So Bonnie just happened to have this list of legislation pulled up, because you can go to the New Hampshire legislative chamber's website, or they call it the general court, and you can look at all of the filed bills, or at least a little one sentence blurb about it, because again, not all the text is ready yet. These things don't even have bill numbers yet in a lot of cases. Some of them have been given bill numbers, but probably half of them haven't at this point in the game. But she was just kind of going through the list and just reading over it.
Yeah, and just deciding for myself, like, if I thought it was like a good libertarian thing I should pay attention to or not. And then Ian told me there's an actual like volunteer job doing that.
Yeah, you seemed to actually be enjoying reading legislation, and I thought, you know, if you actually like doing this,
all I'm thinking is, what is wrong with this girl?
There is a there's an organization that,
yeah,
really,
clearly
that would really appreciate your help. And you know what, Zephan, the other thing that is interesting, you don't even have to be in New Hampshire to help the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance with this kind of work, right?
That's correct. I'm actually planning on training a couple of my friends that for some reason are deciding to stay in California for the moment, and get them to review some as well. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. There was a guy that called in, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. He was calling from Los Angeles and talking about how the Libertarian Party wanted to raise money so they could fight the mask mandate or whatever, which is just a total losing battle. I mean, and I told him that there were multiple different events going on in just Manchester alone. There was like a meeting about New Hampshire cannabis decriminalization. And at the same time, there was like another meeting going on about something completely different. And so there's so much to do here in New Hampshire. You actually have to choose. Like, you can't be in more than one place at once. And sometimes you want to be.
There's like eight things going on. It's like, especially if you get it like on like a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, like there's eight things going on like any given day.
So Zephan, you were wanting to say something else. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, and in comparison to other libertarian causes throughout the country, it's not like you're just running on a hamster wheel and getting nothing done.
Right.
The New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, the ranking that they do, it's actually the first thing that most of the legislators look at. Like, there's other groups that do what the NHLA does, but most of the Republican representatives, at least, rely on the NHLA first, and then they look at other recommendations from other groups. And the reason why they do that is because the NHLA works with the broader liberty political machine in New Hampshire, because essentially when a representative votes on something, you know, it's logged into another thing that the NHLA does, which is essentially gives the representatives rankings based on how they voted. Out of all of the bills that I've reviewed so far, I've found one that is the most pro-liberty, marked at like plus 30 in terms of like how it ends up points-wise for liberty. And then I found one that was minus 30 for points-wise being anti-liberty. And so just keep an eye on these two. The pro-liberty one is known as Defend the Guard. And what that essentially does is it makes it so that The New Hampshire government is able to retain control of its National Guard troops and not have the federal U.S. government deploy those troops into foreign conflicts unless Congress declares an official act of war, which it hasn't done since World War II.
Right.
So it effectively makes it so that the New Hampshire National Guard is never deployed.
That's interesting.
And then the most anti one that I've seen so far is it was proposed by some constitutional threat Democrats. It essentially makes it so that you can't open carry at polling stations, which, you know, New Hampshire, you can do that. Even if it's a school, you can open carry into a polling.
Can't you even open carry in the House?
Yes, you can, yeah, unless you're a House member.
That's funny.
Unless
well,
they change
it's a non-binding resolution.
Yeah.
It's a non-binding resolution. Like, you know, it hasn't really been tested yet, but if I ever got elected as a state rep, they're not going to make me not open carry in the House. That's for damn sure.
Briefly, just to start off here, this should be a lesson to everybody, just how dangerous the mob hive mind becomes, you know, when and the domino effect. And, you know, one second is just one guy who just got out of a mental hospital and he's stirring things up. And the next thing you know, 10 people are chasing one guy down the street trying to kill him. And this should be a lesson to everyone, just how dangerous the mob hive mind is.
Who's the guy that just got out of the mental hospital?
Joseph Rosenbaum, the child molester that tried to take Kyle Rittenhouse's gun.
Oh, okay.
And he's now
dead. Oh, okay.
Yeah. 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 By the way, I think his last words, or some of his last words were, "You ain't going to do S, mother effer." He was dead wrong about that now, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But yeah, I should say the trial, it was really actually really entertaining in a lot of ways. It had like a really good story. It was very cinematic, and I'm hoping, I mean, I know your listener base is very, you know, well-to-do, higher income, higher intellect. Maybe, hopefully, there's maybe an executive from Paramount or Universal or Sony or Warner Brothers or one of these big studios listening to this call, because they should this trial could very easily become a great trial movie, much like all the great court movies from the golden age of cinema.
A lot of times when these sorts of cases don't go in the favor of the you know, the prosecution, the victims of the case will, or not the victims, but the families of the victims, I guess, will sue in civil court.
Oh, so, like happened with O.J. Simpson.
Exactly like what happened with O.J. Simpson. So I suspect that this is not over. I suspect that he's going to have to face a civil case. And in the civil case, it's more likely that he will lose because it's preponderance of evidence versus beyond a reasonable doubt.
That'd be terrible.
So he could still end up with like $1 million, you know, or maybe multi-million dollar verdict. And be put in the poorhouse, basically.
I was shocked that they ruled not guilty because I heard somebody on the radio on LRN.fm make a pretty good point. They said if the jury was going to say not guilty, they probably would have come out with it sooner because it was so obviously not guilty. And if they were going to say guilty, they might take a few days to discuss things like, oh, first degree, second degree, and stuff like that. That's why I really thought it was going to be guilty, but I thought that was a good point. But when they came out and said not guilty, I was like, oh, wow. I was honestly shocked.
You know what I think it would have been more likely? I kind of figured probably that they would have convicted him on something, but not all, if it's going to take multiple days. Because multiple days kind of makes it seems like they're probably arguing back and forth.
Yeah.
The enemy is the state. And again, I don't believe in violence. I don't think violence is the answer or the solution to the state. That's the tool that the state uses. And the state wants you to fight with other people. They want you to believe that it's the other that is the problem, the other innocent individuals out there who might have a different political belief than you.
They want us to fight with each other so they can control us all.
Correct. And they would nothing would make the state people, the government gangsters, happier than seeing individuals, quote-unquote groups, fighting in the streets over the Kyle Rittenhouse situation, because it just gives the police the excuse that they need to come in there with tear gas and bombs and guns and armored personnel carriers and tanks and every, you know, all the toys that they can possibly get out, arrest as many people as possible, crack as many heads as possible, that's what they get off on.
Yeah, they actually have dropped, I don't know if people remember this, but they have actually dropped bombs on houses and things in order to like target people they're like
sure.
going after.
Yeah, they did that in Philly back yep. in the 70s, was it?
Yeah, yeah. 80s? Yeah, it's like, and you think like, and I mean, obviously there was the tank during the raids on here at the studio sure. In March, but yeah, it's there's been other cases where they've actually dropped bombs. So, and they don't care who they kill.
Sure.
So
they only care about protecting their power.
Like people think the nation or country collapsing is a bad thing, but not necessarily. It can sort of be bad if you're holding dollars.
If you're not preparing yourself.
Right. And you're not moving away from the thing that it's collapsing.
The signs have been around since I was a little kid. I remember hearing about a hedge against inflation when I was a little kid on like Fox News, when they would only be talking about gold. And, you know, another crash is going to come like what happened in 2008. Another crash is going to come because the dollar is inflating. People have had time to prepare. It's on you at this point.
That's true.
The thing is, even, you know, stabilizing has its negative side too, right? Like, if you look at like the Great Depression, for example, you know, it recovered, and whenever you see those kind of depressions occur, they recover. It's just part of a natural flow, and the government has kind of like reduced them to some degree. But it's not necessarily a bad thing. You just have to be prepared for it and take some responsibility for yourself. And the sooner I think we do that, the better.
I do want to go ahead and get the news out about the Fraser Institute coming out with another of their, I believe, yearly reports on the economic freedom of North America. And this is a detailed 106-page study. So you want to dig into, you know, how they did all this and get into all the dirty details, you can do that. Very, very interesting stuff. They look at all of North America. So this isn't just the United States. This also, the rankings also include the Canadian provinces and include the Mexican states. And they throw them all in together.
So wait, are you saying this New Hampshire's number one?
Number
of
one.
All of the regions that they've
out of all
at
of North America.
North America.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Which suggests that New Hampshire might be number one in the whole world, right? Like if New Hampshire Ooh. Is the number one most economically free of the entirety of North America, then if it were to be compared to every country on the planet, it would probably, if not be number one, be in the top five, right? Because the U.S. is arguably the most economically free place, or one of them. Now, there are some rankings that show it at around 20, so it's probably not number one.
Hey Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Hawaii's in the bottom five. Hawaii ranked at number 49. And remember, this is not 49 out of 50. This is 49 out of
all
dozens
the,
and dozens.
Oh, right.
So Washington State.
So Hawaii at number 49, Rhode Island at number 50, New York Whoa. At number 51, and Delaware ranking as the lowest, the worst of all of the 50 states, which is interesting because a lot of people like register corporations in Delaware.
Yeah.
You know, I would think that they would be doing better than that, but
well, I heard
not.
That Delaware doesn't like is good for nonprofits, like registering a nonprofit because like you don't need as much proof that you're a nonprofit, something like that.
Could be. There are a lot of people that register all kinds of corporations in Delaware. For whatever reason, their corporate law is just more accessible from what I understand. So that may be the reason why some people do nonprofits there. But yeah, Delaware, the lowest ranking U.S. state. So there's actually some Canadian provinces that rank higher than Delaware, including Ontario, British Columbia, and Alberta.
Isn't it that Delaware has a low corporate tax?
Could be.
I think that's the reason why people register corporations in Delaware.
But not much economic freedom, I guess, overall, if they can't beat New York. So Delaware, by the way, scoring 7.79 And again, all of the Mexican states are on the lowest part of this chart, with the freest of all the Mexican states being Baja California at 6.65. Also, you know, as liberty-minded folks, we do care about personal freedom as well. And so there just aren't as many metrics out there. There aren't as many studies done on personal freedom worldwide, unfortunately. But there is the Freedom in the 50 States. And that one is done on a, I think, yearly or every other year bi-yearly basis. And I'll have to check and see when the last one was that they came out with. But they actually, you can break it down. So they give you an overall score for all of the United States. And according to their numbers, New Hampshire is number 2 overall. So that includes financial freedom. That includes personal freedom. That includes all these different categories. They got to break down everything from victimless crimes to marriage freedom to land ownership. And
who's number 1? Is that Florida?
Florida, according to this.
That one always just... I'm sorry, I can't buy that one. Like that's, this is the thing that like makes me question these indexes, right? Like,
yeah, you'll go to jail for life for like marijuana in Florida, but
there
somehow they're freer than New Hampshire.
Of like anti-freedom laws in Florida. That's why I just don't. What are they looking at as far as like what are they basing this freedom index on?
If you're in one of these places like New Jersey or Florida or Texas or whatever, where you have no chance of changing things in a more liberty-oriented direction, if you can see yourself in New Hampshire at some point, the best thing you can do is prepare for that, is to, get yourself as wealthy as you can, earn as much money as you can, put it away, buy cryptocurrency, get, put your money into something valuable. That way, when you're finally ready to make the move, and hopefully that will be sooner rather than later, you've got some, something that you can fall back on. You've got some rainy day money in case you don't, get a job right away or whatever. Although right now, if you throw a rock...
I was thinking something to live off once you move here.
But right now, if you throw a rock, you're going to hit 20 jobs. So, I mean, if you're looking for work, really, honestly, now is the best time to get to New Hampshire.
If you can't find work in New Hampshire right now... I mean, you probably aren't employed anyway.
If you're not finding work, you're not even going out. You're not doing anything because it's everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's
literally everywhere. They're
literally businesses that are closed.
Some days they're closed because they don't have enough people.
Yeah, repeat. Like I went to this is a corporate, and mind you, this is not a place that's going to pay that well. Nowadays they might pay well, but I went to Wendy's yesterday, and they closed. It was like 10 o'clock, and they closed at 9.
Wow, that's amazing.
They usually open till 11 here, and they closed at 9.
What they've got on their site is under North America. There's 4 different maps. There's one for the U.S. states, one for the Canadian provinces, one for the Mexican states, and then one for all of North America. So what I was reading to you was the entirety of all government data set of North America. So it's includes all of the provinces from Canada, the U.S. states, the Mexican states, includes the effect on economic freedom of all levels of government, federal, state, provincial, and local. So we were wondering about that. Did it factor in the federal government into the numbers? It does. However, the U.S. states data set does not measure the effect of federal actions on economic freedom. And when you factor out the federal government, Florida drops on the list of economic freedom, and Tennessee rises on the list.
What do you mean factor out? Like you're not considering...
They're not considering the federal government's interference in any way, shape, or form on whatever the state rules are.
So just focusing on the states.
Right. Then they're only So U.S. states only looks at state and local. So it would factor in local regulations as well, like in Miami or in, Manchester or whatever.
In New York, New Hampshire stays number one?
New Hampshire stays number one with a 7.83 out of 10. And Tennessee at number 2 at 7.82, Florida at 7.78 at number 3. Texas rises on that at number 4. So it was number 9 after the federal government got involved. Do you guys want to take a guess at the most economically free country in the world? It's not the United States.
United Emirates.
I'll have to look for that one. It's not in the top 10.
Wait, you said economically, right?
Correct.
Hong Kong?
That's an interesting question.
Hong Kong. She got it.
I'm wondering, I'm kind of curious, what are they basing the economic, I'm always curious, what is the basis for this But we don't.
Well, there's
don't,
a 282 page study where if you want to.
Well, this is what,
read
but that's it. What I mean, right? Like, yeah. Is there a summary of that somewhere that I can like get an idea? Like, what are they taking into consideration?
Yeah, they do have like an executive summary here, and let me see if I can pull that up for you. But they look at various different aspects of economic freedom, everything from, you know, the right to own property, whether the courts are going to protect, you know, your rights, regulatory pressures on business. Mm. These are some of the things I can just remember from having looked at this in the past. But here's a breakdown according to the economic. This is the very beginning, right, where they give you the summary. So they look at the size of government. That's okay. One thing. They look at the legal system and property rights. So again, do the courts actually enforce property rights? The question of sound money, which of course no government has sound money, so I'm not sure how they're scoring that. This data does not factor in COVID restrictions. And it's going to be really interesting to look at 2020's data coming up next year. So it's going to be a year before we see it.
I wonder,
especially 2021.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm wondering what they're going to do with regards to that, like because they could.
The whole world's going to go down. Well, I mean, the overall freedom is just going to.
Yeah,
go down.
It's interesting. Well, I'm just wondering. Like, I could see them like excluding it. So, I don't know. Somehow excluding the restrictions because they're temporary.
They're not though. No government program is ever temporary.
Yeah, I know. I mean. I don't know.
I mean, would think Fraser Institute would know. You know, they're a conservative think tank.
I mean, generally, I think you're right about that. But, I mean, there are, like, places that don't require masks that did require masks. So, I don't know. Like, I don't necessarily know that it's... I think there are still some small things that, like...
Well, I think masks would be probably personal freedom.
No. I know. I agree with you. That's what I mean. Like I agree it's a personal freedom. It's like... But it's still similar, like, in terms of, like, what we're talking about.
But
so.
Still, to force a business to require masks is a question of economic freedom, because then they don't...
That's true.
You know, get to decide what's right for their customers or...
Their business.
Know. Yeah,
right.
Business.
And a lot of those restrictions, though, are... They've gone away already, at least, I mean, not everywhere in the world, but at least in some places.
As I say, it's going to be interesting to see how things play out for the 2020 and 2021 versions. And again, these numbers are 2 years behind. Number two on this list is the same old number two, Singapore. Still at a solid number two, most economically free. Again, not known for personal freedoms.
Yeah.
you're going to get arrested if you spit out gum on the sidewalk, which...
You can see me cringing here in the studio if you're watching the video feed.
New Zealand at number three. Again, not a good place to be if you don't want to be on lockdown these days.
If you can't drive to the next town over and buy KFC, then I can't see how they're
personal freedom. Personal freedom is definitely going away in New Zealand.
But that's even economic. You can't spend your money at the restaurant in the town over from you.
That's the thing. A lot of things that are ranked as personal freedoms are, if you think about them, economic freedoms, right? Like, your freedom to do drugs means your freedom to buy them somewhere, right? So, like, a classic kind of personal freedom issue of the right to put what you want in your own body is also ultimately an economic freedom, because somebody has to have the right to sell that to you, or should, you know?
Yeah. New Zealand definitely came down hard on with COVID, and then they cracked down wise, and then they also cracked down on guns, if you recall.
Going on here, number five, the nation of Georgia. Sorry, I skipped four, which is Switzerland. The nation of Georgia at number five. And the United States coming in at number six on the list, having dropped down from the previous year. It was scored this year 8.24 out of 10, while the number one, Hong Kong, scoring an 8.91. Bonnie, you have a story about a cursing siren that has been, I guess, being developed to alert people and punish them, perhaps, for saying dirty things.
I don't think it's cursing only. It's offensive language. So who knows what that means? We could get into it.
Yeah, I would like to get into that.
I just feel like I want one of these sirens, or I want to go into a place with one of these sirens so I can be as offensive as possible. Like,
you think the siren would make you more offensive?
No, I mean, okay, so what I'm imagining, maybe nothing like what they're talking about, but I'm imagining like some sort of siren, like really loud siren, like going into a restaurant or a school or, you know, a university or something. And like, if you're offensive to somebody, you say something offensive, you know, then the siren goes off.
That's,
like,
I believe, what she's talking about. I haven't heard the story yet.
Is that really?
Bonnie, do you want to share where is this coming from and what's going on?
It's coming from theblaze.com, which is apparently like Glenn Beck's.
I think he started it. I don't know if he sold it off at this point, but you might be right.
Blaring automatic trigger warning siren used in classrooms and universities sounds alarm when it detects offensive language. A new trigger warning detector called Themis is being tested in classrooms and universities, according to a recent report from the Daily Mail. ISA explained, through the use of speech recognition and sound sensors, we were able to program Themis to detect offensive terms and sentences, racial slurs, offensive jokes, through the microphone.
So basically, it's a no-fun zone wherever this thing is located. You can't crack any jokes because, every joke is at somebody's expense, right? There's always some sort of a butt of any given joke. That's just the way most jokes are. So no jokes, no cracking, you can't make fun of yourself either, right? Like you just can't say anything at all that could possibly offend somebody wherever this Themis device is located. College campuses, you know they're going to have this all over college campuses.
I wonder how this is going to conflict with introducing yourself as a white male.
It probably won't
because
go
if
off.
You say white, wouldn't that be offensive?
Immediate right? Like,
won't it just not go off because they don't care if you offend white people?
Well, okay, what if you're a black male? Then it'll go off because black is offensive.
Or yeah, if you're just talking about, talking about yourself and you mention your race, is it going to go off? I don't know.
Or what if you're reading a story or, I don't know, like aloud or like giving a speech when you're quoting somebody else? Like,
right.
I could just think of so many like situations where, you know, people did bad things, a history class or, I don't know, like something.
Where this thing's
going
to be going.
Right, you're going to be talking about things that, you know, history, and it's you know, lots of bad things have happened in history, so you're going to offend somebody or whatever.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.